sign of the Holy Spirit. Sermon for the festival of St. Bartholomew's based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 22nd chapter. Jesus said, "But you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Let's find the text. Please be seated. St. Luke reminds you of an incident in church history that is not something to be proud of. It has nothing to do with witches or inquisitions, nor the Crusades or burning heretics at stake, but rather something far more petty. The disciples were bickering about which one was the greatest. Now, this may seem shocking to you, as these men had spent 3 years with the Lord, listening to his preaching, observing his miracles, receiving his ongoing catechesis. Now, they just had the sacrament of the altar instituted and delivered to them as he is preparing for his crucifixion. Then, these men, these founding members of the church, these first bishops, handpicked by the Lord, were carrying on like little children, arguing over which one of them is the best. But this should not shock you at all, dear brothers and sisters. You do this all the time. You're constantly measuring yourselves up against others. Your sinful flesh shamelessly trying to one-up everyone else, and barring that, trying to knock everyone else down a peg or two. By nature, you are always interested in who is the greatest. This desire to identify the best, and if you can't be the best, you want your countrymen to be the best. That's why there are sports events like the Olympics. Now, in the case of sports, there is much to be said of this competitive streak. But in God's kingdom, striving after a gold medal is nothing more than idolatry. For which of them should be considered the greatest? That distinction belongs to the Lord alone. In his loving rebuke of his disciples, the Lord points out that in God's kingdom, true greatness is found in the least likely of places, in weakness, in the lack of social rank, in lowly service. The Lord punctuates this point by pointing to himself. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as one who serves, Jesus said. Sinful flesh wants to be served, to be respected, to be loved. But according to the blessed Lord and servant, true greatness wants to serve, to respect, to love. That kind of selfless, sacrificial love for the sake of people in need and for the good of the kingdom is where true greatness is to be found. And the only greatest greatness through Christ crucified. The least likely place of all. A place of apparent defeat and the seeming finality of death. Through his crucifixion, the Lord Jesus Christ is the servant of all servants. And yet, it is the greatest triumph. The Lord, speaking to the 11, continues, "But you are those who have continued with me in my trials. And I bestow upon you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed one upon me." One of those first followers of the Lord was Bartholomew, also known as Nathanael. He is certainly not the first name that comes to mind when thinking of the greatest of the Lord's apostles. He's certainly not mentioned with the prominence of Saints Peter and Paul or Matthew and John. As far as apostles go, there's not much to know about Bartholomew. But the greatness of Saint Bartholomew lies in that very fact. He devoted his life and death to the Lord and his kingdom. Yet he is never called a contributor or benefactor, nor did he ever lord over a great empire or enterprise. Bartholomew did what he was instructed to do. He properly taught and preached the Word of God in its truth and purity, and he rightly administered God's holy sacraments, holy baptism, holy absolution, and holy communion. Tradition teaches that Bartholomew went as far as India, preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. Some accounts report that he left there a copy of Matthew's gospel. Tradition also teaches that Bartholomew was martyred for the faith in what is today Armenia. Interesting, however, is that Armenia has an ancient Christian presence that has survived to this very day, even surviving the attempts of communism to snuff it out. But all the while communists sought to destroy the church, they struggled in vain. For the Lord promised Bartholomew, the other apostles, and you today, "I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me." In this kingdom, greatness is not to be found in a golden crown and a jeweled throne, but rather in a crown of thorns and on a blood-stained wooden cross. In this kingdom, greatness is not something that can be proven by arguments and disputes, but rather demonstrated by proclaiming Christ crucified, the only one who is truly good and truly the greatest. In this kingdom, the greatness is not to be found in great personal strength and prowess, but rather in weakness and in deference to the one whose victory on the cross won for you eternal life. Saint Bartholomew's greatness was not to be found in himself, but in his deliverance of Christ crucified. But the servant does not call attention to himself, but rather makes his master look good. The good servant stands in the shadows as his labor serves to glorify his master. This is what St. Bartholomew did. His greatness doesn't consist in his missionary trip to India, but rather in the book which he was moved to he preached. Rather, he preached the greatness of the man, and God, who served him forgiveness of his sins, and delivers that same forgiveness of sins through the word and sacraments, the same word and sacraments delivered back then. Dear friends, you're not great. In your sinful flesh, according to the word of God, inspired through St. Paul, you're not even good. But your master is. And him and his crucifixion for you is good indeed. And he gives you his greatness. But listen again to the Lord's words about the kingdom the Father bestows on the Son, and that same kingdom the Son bestows upon you. Jesus said, I bestow on you a kingdom that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Your greatness, your destiny to rule, your sitting on thrones is rooted in the Lord, in his kingdom, and in his holy, humble meal at his table. A meal of simple bread and wine that is at the same time the greatest eternal feast of all, consisting of his almighty body and all-availing blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. His almighty body and all-availing blood given and shed for you for life and salvation. His almighty body and all-availing blood given and shed for you for eternal communion with him. All received by God created faith, enabling you to partake of his kingdom and be accounted according to his great righteousness. Just as St. Bartholomew and all the saints and martyrs have done, and just as all the saints and martyrs yet unborn will do until the Lord returns in glory. You want to be good? Do not look to yourselves. By the grace of God, repent and believe alone in the merits of Christ crucified and risen for you. Do you want to be great? Do not look to yourselves. By the grace of God, repent and believe alone in the merits of Christ crucified and risen for you. While this gospel passage begins with an embarrassing squabble about who is the greatest, it concludes with the Lord promising greatness to all who by faith reside in his kingdom. A greatness you have neither earned nor deserved, but one earned for you by your humble master, who is also your great servant. For as St. Paul reminds you anew, we have this treasure